You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Hello and welcome to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. This is your host, Rick Franzi. I host this business talk show, which airs live on Thursdays at 3 p.m. West Coast time. Different times around the country, if not around the world. And if you're listening to this show at some future point as a podcast, well, then I'd like to say thank you for finding our program, and I hope you find the next 50 minutes to be just full of information and ideas and advice that can help you to make better decisions. Also, encourage you to consider listening live to this program during our broadcast time, heard exclusively here on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better decisions. And we do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives from around the country who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the program today. Smart Business Magazine is a journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbn.com. Online.com. Critical Mass Coast to Coast is brought to you through a partnership of Critical Mass for Business with Executive Forums business owners in selected markets across the U.S. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their business to the next level. My book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, is the fastest selling book on Amazon.com regarding the CEO peer group phenomenon. You can purchase it if you would like by simply typing in my name, Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. Up will come a couple books. One of them is this book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups. If you'd like to learn more about the CEO peer group process, then I would strongly encourage you or suggest you check out our website, www.executiveforums.com. We have two guests today here on the Critical Mass program, and so I'm going to welcome my first guest, Steve Lopez. Steve is CEO of Clean Air Cab. Steve, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Hi, Rick. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Why don't we start by asking you to tell us a bit about your firm?
All right. Well, I own a cab company in Phoenix, Arizona, Clean Air Cab, and we are the nation's second carbon neutral cab company. We are the first in the Southwest region. We are unique in the way that our business philosophy is not built on the old model of taxi cab industry. It's actually built around our community. So I have found a niche and a way to freshen up the old tired taxicab industry and bring along a value which helps to, as a core, helps everybody to participate in beautifying their community through four ways of touching our community. I offer four different community type cabs, of which give a dollar per cab ride to an entity in our town, and we work with Susan G. Komen. We work with Phoenix Children's Hospital, we work with Mesa United Way, and we work with ASU.
How did you get these?
To give money to all of those entities we're giving money to. Sorry about that.
Steve, what was the inspiration for starting this business?
You know, it was the economy. I looked at and said that this economy is really in a bad way. I've always had a passion with cars and automobiles. I've raced them professionally in the past. I have worked on them. I have done everything you possibly can to automobiles, and I have a passion for them. I also have a passion for people and balance. And I feel that when I looked out in the environment, I said, hey, how can I put my passion for automobiles, my passion for people, and design a company that can take advantage of the unattractive economy and become sustainable and prove to basically a city or a group of people that sustainability is a good business model, and if it's practiced well, it, you can achieve two things. One, you can have a very strong business, and also you can be directing funds and helping your community at the same time.
I've had the good fortune on both of my programs, this program and the other program I do in Orange County, focused in Orange County businesses, to talk with entrepreneurs who are creating companies that inside the business model for the business is this element of community give back, of social enterprise. I find that successful entrepreneurs tend to be, and business owners tend to be, generous people to begin with, but many times they were doing it outside the business. You know, the proceeds of the business let them kind of be generous to charities, or they would give of their time. But you entrepreneurs who are making that a critical part of the business model, I'm fascinated by the way you structure your business and the way you approach, you know, doing business. And I kind of want to applaud that as well, Steve.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, well, you know, we really, in the type of business we do, it is an old hat. So having a new backdrop to it, for me to look at it with a new backdrop and to really focus in it, I will emphasize people, planet, profit in that order really allows us to transcend the industry that is old and tired and to deliver much more for less.
Your own admission, you're the second company in the first kind of west of the Mississippi, I think, or at least you said in the western U.S.
In the southwest area, yeah.
Southwest.
I'd say Texas over.
So do you find having to explain your model to the outside community, or what's been the response to your kind of positioning of your company and your vision for it?
Two different responses. One, from the younger generation, yeah, duh. Okay. And like almost like they expect it. But from the older generation and people who my peers and people who have been in business before me, not quite as easily seeing the complete vision. More sometimes I'm convincing them that no, it's not a way to sell goods and services. It actually is a holistic approach to marketing. This is a different way of expressing a business. It's a different way of touching the community. But it's very hard at times because a lot of people who've been through different economies that we've had in America over time have either been disenfranchised or hurt or somewhere along the line with the promises and values and warranties and all of the stuff that green was supposed to offer them or that sustainability is supposed to offer them, that, yeah, they're harder to tell and convince that we're actually doing something intrinsic, something that transcends just trying to take $1 from somebody and put it in my pocket. But the younger generations weigh into it, and they're really like, wow, yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, you should develop the relationship so you guys stay sustainable, and then that person can help you when the economy's down, and that person can help you when the economy's up, and you'll pretty much have like a pretty even keel even though the economy's going everywhere. And I'm like, well, yeah, where do you learn this? And they just see these things. I think they see it through us talking about it, our frustrations as adults trickling down to our children, and our children have brains and minds too, so they can disseminate the information. I think they get it. But yeah, that's pretty much the take on it for me.
I'm fascinated by the rhetoric many times around companies that are green or clean or use the term sustainable. There's almost this disdain in some elements of the media and the business world that this is a fad, you know, and it's sort of immature, and it's not really that it is not really a valid business model, or even worthy of being seen as different. It's all, you know, there's certainly a lot of press about some green firms in the country that have failed, and the government supported those, and so it's sort of, to me, it doesn't surprise me though, because I believe many great shifts in the economy are first met with disbelief, or at least some level of scorn too. I mean, I don't want to state it too strongly, Steve, but that's sort of what I'm feeling from what I hear in the media in many cases lately.
Well, of course. And, you know, it's a natural reaction. It's a natural reaction to change. I won't call it fear, but I will call it emotion. And it's something that is very powerful to us as human beings, and we're guided by it a lot of the time. Sometimes we go against it, sometimes we're burned, sometimes that. But emotion really is the spur of confidence, and once we can look at something and say, is it true, is it not, it's up to the individual, and I understand exactly what you're saying. For me, there's a litmus test. For me, there's a way and mean for me to look through a green wash and for me to get a green value. And it's by asking the companies what relationships they have. Which relationships do you use? And a sustainable company, in my view, is one that doesn't do business solely to take in money and put it into their coffer to grow their company. It is a business that works with other businesses entrenched in their local economy to allow money to pass through local businesses and funnel through the community so that the community is enriched by the programs, initiatives, and nature that money will provide. That's the litmus test. We, the consumer today, is the one becoming educated. I feel that the consumer has the internet. They can go on. They can look. They can research. That's your aid. That's your guide. Once you then find that, hey, this company really is sustainable. And to me, sustainability means that you have relationships in your economy where when the economy shifts, you can maintain traction because you have a relationship that keeps you up if you're falling or vice versa. And one example I would use would be Mesa United Way for our area. I've paled along with them for many reasons, but the biggest reason is they're in every city in the nation. Why wouldn't a company decide to have a relationship with someone so large, so big, and so involved with the community? If other communities use them, wouldn't that aid me in my growth? And
yes,
that's the type of thinking that we look at, that consumers can start to look at for companies. Are you thinking beyond tomorrow? Are you thinking beyond the dollar bill? And are you really using the relationships to sustain? And that's really the litmus. But that I would say use that for education, because you must be looking for yourselves. Anyone can be sold anything, but you must look for yourselves.
We're going to take a break here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, Steve. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you to share with our audience a current challenge facing your firm, and the steps and actions, ideas that you have for mitigating that challenge. So we'll be back.
Thank you.
Steve Lopez, CEO of Clean Air Cab, will be sharing his answer to that question. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plan and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. and learn more about our executive peer group.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. We're talking with Steve Lopez today. And before the break, I said I was going to ask you to share a challenge. Would you be so kind?
Being that I own a cab company, our challenge is quite profound, if you will. We are working in one of the largest cities in America, being Phoenix, the fifth largest city. We have a lot of people we can usher to. But the cab industry is really a transient industry. It's visitors come in, use you. They call you from the airport. They need rides to and from places when they're here. They don't have automobiles. So a lot of our business isn't really local. One of our biggest challenges is developing local patrons. And I put that challenge to peer groups. I put that challenge to my team. I put that challenge out there. And having solutions to what seems to be a very simple question for the town that I live in is becoming a larger and larger concern for our company, because it's becoming harder and harder for us to really get the true answer or to garner those people, even if we've tried. So over time, we've tried 3, 4, 5 different ways of trying to get our business to daytime residents or people who live there here in Phoenix all the time. The result of what we found isn't necessarily in advertising. It's not getting on the radio. It's not being in media. It's being accessible in a new area consistently. And for a cab company, that's very hard to do, because we like to go out and help the whole city. We want to open up that block of the city. We want to go down and help that block in the city. But the most effective way to grow is not going and getting any business around you. It's really growing and concentrating on areas. While the whole city's beckoning for you to service them, you really should be growing and garnering one area. So it's a dynamic in the industry that's hard for us to always maintain on top of.
Well, I look for teachable moments, these learning opportunities on Critical Mass shows, and the fact that a successful growth strategy is sort of, take a city chunk by chunk, neighborhood by neighborhood, block by block for a cab company makes a lot of sense, because, it's sort of a niche strategy, isn't it? You need to kind of attack niches within the city from a geographic perspective.
To be consistent and to give the same quality product, you have to be focusing on the right things, and that's service and convenience and value. And we can't promise convenience if we're trying to make a run from one side of the city to the other to fulfill a new client, or we'll lose something along the way if we're stretching ourselves too thin. So, yeah, our growth paradigm is really humbling to me, because it is very centralized, very small growth areas, and going to the next and building that out and building that out and building that out.
I understand you've selected as your platform the Toyota Prius.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit about that decision and sort of how that's working out for you?
Yeah, we made the decision in 2009, I would say right around August, right around that time of 2009, to go with the Toyota Prius. And it was, there was a different hybrid models out, and during that time, if we remember, there was some news about Toyota, and, there were some unsavories about Toyota and braking problems and stuff like that. I, as a businessman, had to look at what I wanted to do ultimately, and that was to offer technology that could get you around town for less money, so you save more than a traditional cab when you use our hybrid, that we can get professional drivers who want to drive a newer product, and we can make the full package consistent and give you a value of us allowing us to give to our entities at the end of the day. The only package was a 50-mile-plus package, and that's the only package at that time was the Toyota Choice. We took it. We knew we were going to take some bumps along the way, but to be perfectly honest, everybody in the industry has one shape, waveform, or another, problems associated with their models and products, and always at one point, place, time, or another, they are recalling something based on something that they'd missed, something that they hadn't known about, an anomaly, or an issue that's reoccurring. And every company is proactive. And Toyota was dealt with it very much the same way. So we were very happy with Toyota being taking care of it in a fashion of which the industry does, and people beckon. But after that portion of time, we found that the Toyota product does do what it says. We're happy to have it, and we've had our cars now going in service 140,000 miles. And we've only replaced our brakes.
in doing a little bit of pre-research for your appearance, I saw an image of at least one of your cabs, which is a pretty nicely wrapped vehicle with kind of graphics. Is that consistent across your fleet, or how do you get brand recognition on the streets of Phoenix?
Very good question. I love this question. What we do is we have a basic model, and it is a light blue cab with what I would call a Hawaiian feel to it. It has some water drops, three-dimensional looking water drops, larger leaves, a very simple read through. It's not overdone or over advertised. It's very simple to the eye, and it gets the point across very simply, and I think that's what you're referencing. What we do from there as we gain a relationship is we do not, and I emphasize it with passion, we do not repeat the industry standard of having top hats on with advertising or rear ends with advertising and people buying advertising. Our model is not to have a co-branded car about advertising. Our model is about having co-branded cars about your community and giving and doing those things. We actually don't even advertise on our cars, but all of our cars have a very uniform look. If it is a different car, does a different service, and I'll use our ASU cars for an example. Our regular cabs go out. We plant 10 trees per month per cab in service. Every month we've planted over 5,000 trees, so irregardless of any cab you take, you're going to plant a tree. Also, you're also going to invest in carbon credits and add to better air quality. But on top of that, if you take one of our premier cabs, it will be branded with another, and I'll use ASU as our example again, it'll be branded with ASU. That cab will go around town looking much like our Clean Air cab, the original, but with a different gradient color and some marketing aspects of ASU, but nothing overdone. It doesn't look like war between two companies. It's very consistent, and we don't put any advertisement on the cabs at all. So it's very clean throughout, and we like to have it very pleasing. And we actually just learned last week we got best wrap in Phoenix. I don't know if it was for the month or for the year, and that wasn't clarified, but when I heard about it, it was for October or near the October time we got best wrap in Phoenix. So I'm very happy with that because, like you're saying, it's pretty simple, pretty nice, and pretty easy to see. www.cleanaircab.com, you can see the cab on we're talking about.
Yeah, and we're going to give that again at the end of the interview, which will be coming up in about five or six minutes. But I wanted to ask you another question, which is, in Phoenix, is there a community of like-minded business owners who have sort of the same worldview that you have? In other words, you know, they're approaching sustainability, clean community involvement. Is there a network of other entrepreneurs out there in different areas that are sort of trying to help each other because of this common worldview?
Thank goodness, yes. And we are a very close-knit community when it comes to that. And we do really try to help one another. And it really is about what we've heard over and over and over and over. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Local community companies helping local community companies keep cash, keep money, keep revenues inside our cities, pay our taxes, allow us to be active inside our communities, allow us opportunities to grow our communities. That's where the like-mindedness of these newer businesses owned by all different age types. I'm not excluding or including anybody. There's a vast array of individuals who are getting involved with this mindset. It's neat to me because we all love to do what we say. We all scratch each other's back and it works out. So the win-win allows us to do what we say again and again and again, and then it just becomes natural. So it allows for easier business, easier lines of communication, more transparency, and more consistent product to market by everybody participating in that respect, together as, you know, local markets. That's where I really see us growing. And it's just starting, but it's happening.
And I think there's a real power in that, because then that becomes a referral source for you. An author by the name of Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K, and he wrote a book, Starting with Why, and he talks. He had a TED conference speech where he talked about the content of the book. And one of the takeaways that I took away from his speech was his point. He said, "Don't do business with everybody who needs your product or service. Do business with people who believe what you believe. Those are the kind of customers that you want, because they will stay with you and they will make you a more successful company because they get it, what you're doing." And I would think, with the message that you're delivering and the way that you've built your business model, a community of like-minded people can sort of insulate you a little bit from some of the other issues when you're out there kind of a standalone or maybe a more traditional business model?
Agreed. Running with the pack is a little easier, yes. And being that we are all mavericks at this point, kind of looking for that light, kind of looking for that, where do we head now? How are we all going to make this happen for everybody? It's exciting. It's an exciting place in America. It's an opportunity. I've heard many different aspects and ways to think about where we are today, but I look at it as opportunity. I look at it as growth, change, however you want to say it, but at the end of the day, I think we all have a really good opportunity to get back, maybe not what we used to have back in history, all warm and fuzzy, oh, we can all huddle around the fire and tell stories as a family, no TVs. No, that's not what I'm talking about, but what I am talking about are the values, what brought us here in the first place, how we broke our bread, broke our backs, and allowed this land to flourish. And I think that's where we're headed, but it'll be an evolution this time, not a revolution. I truly believe that.
I've enjoyed this interview, and sort of the theme for today's show is around being eco-friendly, being sustainable, because you may, if you have time, Steve, want to kind of click through and listen to the program, because my second guest, Shane Broussard, his company is in San Antonio, and it's pedads.com and the Bike Waiter. It's using bicycles in that town for delivery services and for advertising, and so it's another green, eco-friendly company. And so I've seen more and more intelligent and quick-witted entrepreneurs understanding how to create a business model that has differentiation at it. And if someone wanted to learn more about your firm, I know you gave your website out quickly before, but would you do it one more time for our audience, please, Steve?
I sure would. It is www.cleanaircab.com.
Continued success. I'll commit to you that when I come to Phoenix on business and I need a cab, I'm going to keep your company's name at the top of the list because I believe in what you're doing. And hopefully others who are listening around the world, or around the country at least, when you get to Phoenix, keep this company in mind. So thank you very much for being our guest today. I appreciate you being prepared, and welcome to the community and being a friend of the radio program, Steve.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You as well.
As I said, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a sponsorship break, and when we come back, Shane Broussard will be our guest. He is the president of PetAds.com and the Bike Waiter, and we're going to be talking about finding niche markets and kind of the eco-friendly business he has for the downtown communities. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
There's something happening out there today. All across America, we're seeing encouraging signs of economic recovery. Businesses are once again thinking about new growth, and new opportunities are emerging. But it raises the question, is your company positioned to take full advantage of the economic recovery and the opportunities it presents? Maybe it's time to ask, how has the recession impacted your business model? Is your business as relevant as it once was? Should you consider entering new markets or expanding into new categories? And what do customers really value about their relationship with you? The golden thread through all these questions and the answer to each and every one of them can be found in just one place. Your brand. It's much deeper than your logo and much bigger than your advertising. Your brand is the enabler of your entire business strategy. Rikus Baird is a brand strategy firm that can help. They specialize in business branding. They've helped hundreds of companies from startups to Fortune 500 leverage their brands to drive growth. They can do the same for yours. It's really quite simple. Find out more, just visit brandingbusiness.com. That's www.brandingbusiness.com. And plant the seed for economic growth.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. Our second guest this afternoon is Shane Broussard, as I said, with PedAds.com and The Bike Waiter. Shane, welcome to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Thanks, Rick.
Why don't we begin by having you explain a little bit more about your business so that our audience can understand what it is that you do.
Certainly. My primary business, PedAds, it's P as in Paul, ED-ADS.com. We're actually a bicycle-based advertising business, bicycle-based billboard service, so to speak. Essentially, it's a three-wheeled bicycle, very similar to a pedicab or a bicycle taxi. Instead of carrying passengers, however, we carry a big sign, 4 foot by 3 foot, that's backlit, and we provide complete mobile branding for our clients' businesses. That's essentially what we do.
I have to ask you, what was the inspiration for this business?
Well, I was a resident of downtown San Antonio for a little over a year. There were so many things that were going on in our downtown community, events and festivals and parties and concerts, that I had no idea were going on. And I thought as a resident of downtown, I should be the first to know when there's something going on two blocks away from my building. And I was the last to know. And I think the mindset of, at least for me, as a recent college grad getting into the workforce, I didn't spend my time in my apartment watching TV. I certainly wasn't driving around the city, looking at billboards. So my exposure to advertising was very limited. If I wanted something to do, I would go downstairs to my building and walk along the streets and look for what's going on. And when I had the idea about putting the signs on the bikes, it effectively captures people's impulse to do something right now. Because they see it, they want to know about it. Where is it? How can I get there? And off they go. So it provides a street-level advertising.
I was just going to ask, how long did it take you from inspiration to implementation? How long did it take you to get the business going?
From the time I had the idea that I didn't need to get I would purchase a pedicab, sell advertising on the back to make some extra money. I scratched that idea, decided to leave the pedicab behind and just do the sign, just do an advertising-based business on the bike. To the time that I resigned from my position was all of about 5 weeks. In that 5 weeks, it moved very, very quick. I had my competitive research done. I had my market analysis done. I had my website up. My logo was done. I had T-shirts, hats, business cards. Everything was ready to go. All I had left to do at that point was to go out and sell some ad space. And I wasn't going to do that while I was still working at my current job. So it was time to resign when it was time to start selling.
That is amazing. And how long has your firm been in business in San Antonio?
We started, I formed the company in January of 2009. So we're going on our third year. I resigned from my position February 2nd. And my first advertising gig, I set a launch of St. Paddy's Day, which was in March. So it was, all in all, about 3 months from the time I had the idea to my first advertising campaign. And, we're going on about almost 3 years in business.
I think we lost Rick there for a second. Why don't you just tell us a little more about how the reaction is? This is Paul Roberts, the producer here, and we'll try and get Rick back. Why don't you tell us about the reaction to this different business model here? Did people like it? Did they accept it? Did they scratch their heads?
A little bit of everything, to be honest with you. It's so new, and I guess for one, billboards are kind of a sticky issue throughout the country. People don't like them. They're unsightly, and it's a whole host of other things. And then you throw in the mobile aspect, and you certainly, I could have had a whole host of naysayers and people wanting me not to exist. But instead, my approach was to go, initially, I started with one bicycle, one billboard bike. I went with the city, lots of the different organizations, our downtown business alliances and associations, paid my dues, became an active member in the organizations that really are the foundation of our city. And so each of those organizations, as part of their fundraising efforts for their nonprofit, you know, they host a variety of events. So I started off by promoting events for the business organizations downtown. And then that got me connected with all the right people in the city that I needed to know. I started off small. I had one bike, and so I was under the radar for quite a while. I'd say there was a little bit of a challenge as far as my own identity. You know, I would have my clients advertising on my bike, and I just kept a little bitty bumper sticker on the back, essentially a bumper sticker-sized logo for pet ads. And the challenge that I had was letting people know that I didn't actually work for that company. I have the bicycle advertising business. That was a little bit of a challenge, but I think the overall reaction was mixed. You know, there were people that were excited about it. There were people that just really hadn't seen it before. They weren't sure what it was and what I was doing. But it certainly was effective. About 3 years later, the city has become one of my largest clients, and they've completely embraced my business, and I have 8 of these advertising bikes now.
Shane, this is Rick. And I'd like to ask you, I see there's a community element to what you're doing in pet ads, and you might have heard that Steve, our earlier guest from Clean Air Cab, had a very strong commitment to his community as well. How is that, the fact that you support organizations and you're very public about it, it's on your website, did your business either positively or otherwise?
Well, it made a huge impact. I mean, for one, I guess the people that are on the board of directors for these different nonprofits and these organizations are all of the individuals that I need to meet that would make the decisions for advertising. So it was kind of a double play for me, I suppose. One of them is supporting the community. The other is getting to network and get to know the decision makers in these big companies and the big businesses that will use my services. So it played a huge part of gaining the acceptance and getting recognized, I suppose, for the new business.
We're going to take a short sponsorship break. And when we come back, I'd like to ask you to share with our audience a current challenge facing the business and the ideas and the steps, actions that you're taking to mitigate that challenge. Okay?
Okay.
First, here's a word from a sponsor.
If you're a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gaffella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives in the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
Large companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. Our guest for this segment is Shane Broussard. He is president of PedAds.com. And before the break, I said I was going to ask you to share a current challenge. Would you be so kind?
You bet. One of the challenges that I face right now is actually with the bicycle itself. The size, the width, the bulk of this thing can make it difficult as I try and expand into new markets. San Antonio, we're lucky, it's relatively flat. These bikes, they have 21 gears, so they can actually, they're pretty maneuverable, but just down the road in Austin, Texas, where I've done a few advertising campaigns, for you guys, it might not be considered hills, but when you're on a big, heavy three-wheeled bike that weighs about 300 pounds, those hills can be a challenge. And so as I try and grow and expand into new markets, the new city, I've got to resolve the issue with the bulk and the weight of this bicycle. So I actually have a prototype for a two-wheeled sign bike. It's just about, the design is practically finished. It just needs to be finalized and painted and ready to go. But our first prototype is done, and I look forward to expanding much faster with a two-wheeled version of this bicycle.
You know, that's definitely an option. And, you know, from hosting this radio program I mentioned earlier, we've had several hundred guests throughout the 3 years that we've been doing the show. And earlier this year, I had an entrepreneur from here in Southern California that builds electric bikes for delivery services like fast food, pizza, etc. Okay. It might be an option to consider as well, in that it's eco-friendly and probably able to maybe address some of the issues with hills, etc. So you may want to consider that, Shane.
I have looked at that as an option as well. I know there's several different electric assist models and things like that you can go in and retrofit these bikes. The first issue, however, was just the width and the bulk of it. And these things are so heavy, it would just drain any battery quicker than you would know. I do keep that in mind, though, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, the name of the firm is Thrust Electric Bikes. You may want to Google the name Thrust Electric Bikes and see if they have anything to offer that you might be interested in.
And
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is a community radio program. We try to connect people.
It's funny you mentioned that. One of their reps just met me last week, and we did a demo on their delivery bike for the bike waiter business. They brought one to Houston, and I gave it a spin, and we're in talks right now. So.
Okay. Well, you have now this in common. You've both been radio show guests on Critical Mass.
Good to know.
Tom Casey was the gentleman who was our guest. He's the president.
Correct.
All right. Talk to me a little bit more about the future for your firm. I know that, you know, you kind of hinted that you're expanding. Where do you see this business going in the future, Shane?
I would like to get into other markets. I said the initial challenge of the bike, I think, is resolved. So I would like to get into new markets, and I guess the challenge is which ones I'd like to approach first and how to get there. But I certainly have kind of built the framework and set up a franchise model is my goal, so I can franchise PedAds to other markets throughout the country.
Do you think you have discovered a business model that has the potential then to really drive nationwide rollout and is kind of a sustainable business model when other people kind of see it and try to copy it?
Certainly. I certainly do. Street-level advertising is huge, you know, not just from a bicycle billboard business, but you look at all the different ways that companies are spending their advertising dollars on street-level advertising, from pedicabs and bicycle taxis to street teams. They send their own trucks, their own street teams down the road for product sampling. You know, there's no better way to connect to your audience than talking with them, interacting with them face-to-face. We can get places that types of mobile advertising just cannot get to because we're on bicycle. You know, the advantage that we have by being on bikes is huge. And nobody else can get there without, you know, with the current advertising on cars and trucks and billboard trucks and things like that, just doesn't come close.
Well, you know, this radio program is targeted at a number of distinct cities within the U.S. I'm broadcasting from Southern California. Our earlier guest was on from Phoenix. You're in San Antonio. We have guests from Philadelphia, Atlanta, and other cities, as well as Albuquerque. And people from around the world can pick this show up, but a lot of different cities in the U.S. How do people find out about you? And would you be open if entrepreneurs are listening to the show live today or maybe as a podcast off of Apple iTunes in the future, if they might be interested in contacting you about your suggestion of franchising or opening up a franchise in their market? Are you open to having that conversation? And what is your website if they want to learn more about your current?
Yeah, I'm certainly open to that conversation. My website is pedad.com. It's P-E-D, short for pedal, P-E-D-A-D-S, short for advertising, pedad.com.
And the second question, if people wanted to talk to you about maybe partnering up, you're open to that at this point in stage in your business?
I certainly am.
Okay. Well, I am intrigued by this. I like the fact that we had a theme today with both guests talking about eco-friendly businesses and sustainable businesses and community-oriented businesses. And the icing on the cake for me is that you and Thrust Electric Bikes have a connection already that, you know, existed before you were both guests here on Critical Mass, the radio show. It just shows, ladies and gentlemen, that it is a small world, especially when you're in a highly focused niche. And that's one of the powers of being in a niche for small companies is you can get a lot of coverage very quickly. So I want to thank you for being our guest today, Shane, and welcome you to the community, and thanks for being a friend of our radio program.
Yeah, certainly appreciate your time, and I would also, if I can, mention my newest business, the Bike Waiter, which is our bicycle-based restaurant delivery service, and that's how I met up with the guys from Thrust Electric Bikes. We didn't really talk much about that, but I wanted to let people know they can learn about the Bike Waiter on thebikewaiter.com.
Well, let's do this because you're right. Why don't you talk to Peter? Peter is our Renaissance Executive Forums business owner in San Antonio, and schedule to have you back on this program maybe after the first of the year, and we can dig deeper into that business model because I like having the Thrust guys on. I'd like to see it from your perspective as well. So would you be willing to do that, Shane? Join us again after the first of the year?
I'd love to.
All right, we'll do that. Will you work with Peter to set that up then?
Sure. I just need to get his contact number after we get off the air.
Okay. We'll make sure we get that to you. Well, I appreciate you being on the radio program, and have a great day.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
You know, we constantly strive here on the Critical Mass radio shows to bring you insight and advice and ideas that help you to better factor in that information into your business decisions. I'm intrigued by companies and entrepreneurs that are adopting sustainable and giving business models that are as a key part of their business. And we certainly had two today who share some of those elements. And so I would suggest to any entrepreneurs that are out there that are looking at developing a business model, factor in some of what you heard today. And for others that are looking to maybe update their business model, maybe give some consideration to the lessons that were learned here on the radio program. So this is Rick Franzi saying, until the next time we have a chance to be together, here's hoping that all your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, only on OCTalkRadio.net.